Welcome to Slacker Astronomy, a podcast about astronomy and just about anything else that floats over our heads.
Each week, we bring you a recent news event from the world of astronomy, and when there's nothing new to report, we'll continue auditions for Queer Eye for the Astronomer.
Hey, we don't need no stinking style advice. I've got it all, baby. It's Halloween, and I'm all the eye candy you need.
You'd think after doing this show for a year, you'd finally figure out it's a podcast. People can't see you.
I transcend such limitations. Listen to my voice, and you shall too.
I think we need to just get you on TV and get it out of your system.
Come on, I'm not that cheap. I need at least 2 personal assistants, a stylist, and at least 4 cameras on me at all time. A bowl of M&Ms, all the red ones removed, of course, a trailer.
One of the things we like to do through Slacker Astronomy when not feeding Travis's ego is to revisit recent space missions and see what kind of science came out of them. All too often, the mainstream media forgets about the cool missions after launches and lands. Yet science is a slow and sometimes frustrating process, like renewing your driver's license or waiting for a girl or guy to call you after the first date.
The main difference is that in the latter, you know the end result will be worth it.
But in science, you can't be so sure. After all, if you were sure of the outcome in the first place, then why spend the time and the money to confirm it?
To get votes in your political district? Money from lobbyists and aerospace industries?
Okay, let's leave reality out of this for a second and stay in the idealized world, the one where all phone calls after first dates are good ones.
So then we go to space for the joy of exploration.
Exactly. And this time we have something to report from our recent exploration of Saturn's moon Titan by NASA's Cassini and the European Space Agency's Huygens space probes. Researchers at the University of Arizona and at the University of Nantes in France think they have discovered why Titan has so much methane gas in its atmosphere.
Methane was discovered on Titan in 1944 via spectroscopic observations by Gerard Kuiper. Astronomers have wondered ever since about the source of the methane. Methane breaks down so quickly in sunlight, with an atmospheric half-life of around 8 years on Earth, so something must be replenishing it on Titan.
Methane is an important source of energy on Earth, so the more we know about how it is formed, the better we can plan for the future of our own methane industry. Methane is the principal component of natural gas, which is used to create electricity and to heat homes.
Professional chefs, such as Aaron's wife, swear by gas stoves since they can be more precisely controlled and maintain their temperature better.
And anyone who enjoys food can appreciate that anything that makes a chef happy makes us happy too.
On Earth, our methane deposits are predominantly formed by microorganisms breaking down organic matter deep within the crust, usually at depths far deeper and temperatures far higher than for oil deposits. Surprisingly, termites account for a large percentage of methane generation as well. It is formed in their digestive tract as they break down the cellulose in wood.
Methane is also one of the cleanest burning fuels, creating less carbon dioxide when burned than coal and oil per unit of generated heat. Many metropolitan areas of the United States, such as Slacker Astronomy's hometown of Boston, are converting their bus fleets to natural gas as a way to clean up the air.
Interestingly, while it burns cleaner, methane itself is a major greenhouse gas. Over the course of 100 years, methane will retain 23 times more heat than carbon dioxide. Lots of methane is being generated on Earth through both man-made and natural processes, the biggest source being rice fields and other wetlands used for food production. Nevertheless, landfills, waste treatment, and biomass burning also contribute to a significant amount of methane. Over 50% of the current methane production on Earth is a result of man's influence.
So for our own sake, we want to know more about the creation of methane, how it is stored, and its impacts on planetary scales. Enter Titan. With a thick, methane-rich atmosphere, it presents a good laboratory to watch methane in action on a scale far larger than is possible in laboratories on Earth.
Before the Huygens probe landed on Titan about a year ago, it was thought that Titan may even have oceans of methane on its surface. The probe was built to float because of just this possibility. Such oceans would be quite the sight considering methane boils at a chilly negative 161 degrees Celsius. But instead, they found that Titan used to have seas of methane, but they are mostly gone now, although some small rivers and methane springs may still exist.
When Huygens landed on the surface, its methane readings increased significantly. Astronomers believe that the heat of the probe warmed the ground beneath it, and methane just below the surface boiled out and into the atmosphere by way of the probe sensors. This was a key discovery leading to their new theories about the formation of methane on Titan.
Their theory begins shortly after Titan's creation. Originally, Titan had a rocky core surrounded by an ocean of water and ammonia mixed together. On top of that was a crust of frozen ice. The ammonia acts as a sort of antifreeze and lowers the freezing temperature of the water. Radioactive decay of trace elements in the moon warmed it enough for some methane to outgas or boil out the frozen crust and into the atmosphere. This went on for about a billion years.
Seems like this podcast has gone on for a billion years.
Well, I could talk like this very fast to speed up things and explain how a billion years later Titan's core began to heat up, causing convection to the core and the ocean around it, but then you wouldn't understand me very well.
We never understand you, Travis.
That's me, an enigmatic, tortured artist. No woman could possibly understand or tame me.
Travis Searle, I see dishes in the sink.
Yes, dear. I'll wash them immediately. I'll be right back.
So, I'll just pick up where he left off. Anyway, a billion years after the first release of methane gas, the core of Titan heated up due to radioactive decay of uranium, potassium, and thorium. This caused the ocean to heat up and the ice crust to thin, which released more methane into the atmosphere. Then, 500 million years ago, the ice crust began to cool, which led to more convection and more methane being released into the atmosphere. What the scientists don't say, at least in their press release, is why convection stopped in between these events.
Oh, sorry, I'm back. Okay, where were we?
Travis, the trash? Oh.
Yeah, yes, of course, I'll be right there. Yes, dear. Sorry.
He's well-trained. I'll have to ask Flora about her secret. Anyway, the current outgassing period on Titan will be its last for a long time, as the moon eventually will become too cold for methane to boil away into the atmosphere. Titan's foggy shroud will be lifted, and its atmosphere will become very different. It will be more clear, thin, and much colder without the methane greenhouse gas to keep it warm. Then it will start all over again, about 4 billion years from now, when the sun becomes a red giant and melts all the ice on Titan. Perhaps then, the methane seas astronomers dreamed about will finally exist.
Whew, sorry about that. So like I said, I'm an artist, baby. You know how it feels?
Travis, fetch my shoes.
Okay, where are they?
This is a very interesting development in our partnership.
I think we need to wrap this show up, and fast. Thanks for listening to another episode of Slacker Astronomy. Show notes available at blah, 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 for the voices in our heads. Bye. Okay, so I've got this niece.
Those are usually cute.
Cute? Heck, she defines cute. She's also smart and really into planets and stuff. And since I'm Uncle Slacker Astronomy, I'm supposed to tell her parents what to get her.
Well, Dobsonian telescopes and kids are usually good together.
She's 4.
Oh. Let's look at Oceanside Photo and Telescope.
www.optcorp.com. Loading. Beautiful, a gift guide.
Look at this. OPT has all sorts of planispheres and calendars. I wonder what type of a small telescope a really small kid could use.
I have no idea, but I bet if we called OPT, they could help us pick out some easy-to-use equipment.
So, what's the kid's mom and dad going to do when she discovers dinosaurs?
Well, her dad is really into stars and planets, too, so...
So that Dobsonian might not be too small after all?
No, maybe not.
Lucky kid.
Nah, lucky dad. Slacker Astronomy is proudly sponsored by Oceanside Photo and Telescope. Go ask the experts at www.optcorp.com.